from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful Wednesday. We have a lot to get into. We don't have a lot of time. This is how I would like to finish the 4 o'clock hour, and then we'll do something different in the 5 o'clock hour. Rob, why don't we answer the question that Vern just threw out there in the postgame show? So the Royals once again beat up on the Chicago White Sox. They are better than any team in Major League Baseball at absolutely pounding the White Sox every single time that they have seen them. They are done playing the White Sox this year. They played them 13 times. They won 12 of those games. You cannot be much better against one team than the Royals were this year against the Chicago White Sox. I don't want to get to that part. In fact, I don't even really want to talk about that until tomorrow. The Royals swept the series. The Royals have a 2-game lead right now in the wild card race. We don't need to focus in on, hey, the White Sox are over, or what are they going to look like? We got time to do that tomorrow. Why don't we answer the question that Vern just threw out there in the postgame show? Who is going to be the most important Royal the final 2 months of the season? Let's remove Bobby Witt Jr. for very obvious reasons. This is the answer. I think it's Lucas Urshag. We got a chance to see in a very small sample today. You got to see the vision of J.J. Piccolo and exactly why they went out there and traded for him. You can see why there was a legitimate market for him and how the Royals added something that they did not have. The strikeout that he had today. They do not have a reliever aside from good James MacArthur. And it's been a minute since we've seen that you think is capable of coming in and making that pitch and making that in that spot. So if you're asking me today, hey, you got to pick one Royal down the stretch, I think the answer is Lucas Urshag. I think he could be the remedy to a lot of the problems that they potentially have. And I think most people would agree if they're going to be able to hold off the Red Sox, if they're going to be able to hold off either Seattle or Houston, whoever comes out of the West, if they're going to be able to maybe catch Minnesota and surpass Minnesota, you are going to have to do that with some confidence in your back end and in your bullpen down the stretch. You got really big games and really important series coming up over the course of the next 2 months. You got the Red Sox here coming up in about 5 days. You got the Phillies coming to town. You still have 7 games against the Cleveland Guardians. So it is now go time for the Kansas City Royals. We talk about how baseball is a marathon, not a sprint. We are getting very close to the sprint portion of the baseball season. And you're going to need to have some confidence in your bullpen. We can think of games over the course of the last 2 weeks that the Royals potentially win if they have more trust and more confidence in their bullpen. I think you got a chance to see today why Pecola and the front office were so high on Ursaeg, why they went out there and acquired him, and how he can be the difference between this team making and missing the postseason. So to answer Vern's question, mine would be Lucas Ursaeg. Who do you have as the most important Royal not named Bobby Witt Jr. the final 2 months of the season?
Listen, I think the answer is Lucas Ursaeg, but as we've talked about a lot on this show, if I just came on and said, good point, Carrington, up top, high five, not really great content. So I will take the 1B to the answer. I think it's Hunter Renfroe. Carrington, we argued it a lot as we came to the trade deadline. What do the Royals need more, bullpen arm or bat? You were always down on that Royals outfield. And by the way, you had reason to be down on the Royals outfield. There was a time this year where MJ Melendez wasn't hitting his weight. Hunter Renfroe at one point this season was giving you nothing. Kyle Isbell was a good defender but has always been light hitting. It had been a rough stretch in the outfield, and it was a real conversation on this show, Vern's show, Cody and Gold, Fesco's show. Everyone's show was asking, bat or arm, what's the path? They chose arms, which is fine. I think one of the reasons they chose arms and didn't fully address bat is Hunter Renfroe's getting hot. Hunter Renfroe's looking a lot more like the guy they added this offseason than the guy they had been getting. The production is looking more like that of an everyday major league player. And if suddenly your offense goes from, we have the best player in the sport, potentially, in Bobby Witt, we have potentially a triple-digit RBI guy in Pasquantino, and we have Salvador Perez, that's a solid start. If you can add in another viable bat, if you can add in another spot in the lineup, that has a little punch, suddenly the lineup gets longer. And we both know from postseason baseball in Kansas City, having just three viable options in your lineup isn't going to do great in October. If the Royals are to make it to October, you're not going to win a lot of postseason games because Bobby Witt is awesome. He gets four at-bats a game. You're going to need more, especially from the bottom end of that lineup. And Hunter Renfroe is playing better baseball of late. It is lengthening that lineup. And I think as the offense comes back to life, we can circle Hunter Renfroe as one of the reasons why. So I agree with you. Ursaeg's the answer. But if you ask me who's number two, it's Hunter Renfroe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at their lineup over the last couple of days. We don't got to talk about Bobby Witt Jr. yet. We'll do that coming up at 5 o'clock. I mean, he just put together one of the best months that we have seen in Royals history. I'll get you the number. Mikel Garcia, Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino. I mean, MJ Melendez has continued to disappoint so far this year. You're right about Hunter Renfroe. He's starting to figure things out. You do feel a little bit of confidence with their lineup at least the rest of the way. I don't want to dive too deep into this because I want to do it more tomorrow. But today to me is, you know how there's like phases of a season, you know, how we wanted this team to get through the first month of the season and not drown themselves prior to Memorial Day. Then we were looking toward the All-Star break, the trade deadline. The trade deadline is passed and they don't have any more games against the White Sox to support this team anymore. This feels like the official start of the stretch run. Look at the teams that you play, especially in comparison to the teams that you are fighting for position in the American League wildcard race. There is no more margin for error. To quote Apollo Creed from Rocky III, there is no tomorrow. It is go time. And if you're going to be able to hold off these teams, you're right. One of these two things is going to have to happen because at some point, Bobby Witt Jr. cools off. He is on a stretch right now that it is impossible for him to keep this up for the next 60 games, what he has been able to do. Who's going to be able to pick up that slack when he takes a dip just a little bit? And can you find more consistency and dependability in the back half of that bullpen? That's why yesterday when we had multiple guests on, I asked him, hey, how would you handle the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning? Because against the Red Sox, you're going to have a 4-2 lead heading into the 7th inning. That can't be a game that you lose. You lost that game to the Arizona Diamondbacks a couple of weeks ago. You're going to have that game against the Cleveland Guardians. You're going to have that game against the Phillies. You're going to have a really important spot where you're going to need somebody else to come up big that's not Bobby Witt Jr., who potentially saved you from the fire from only winning 2 or 3 games in this series. You're also going to need a little bit of dependability in that 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. And over the course of the last 3 weeks, they just haven't found that.
I would also say another name to keep an eye on as far as the guy is Brady Singer. Like, It is something that I have pushed back the notion of, but it is noteworthy. Seth Lugo is hurtling toward the most innings in his career. Michael Wacha is hurtling toward the most innings in his career since 2017. Cole Reagans is hurtling toward a season with the most innings in his career. Just the natural attrition of baseball, as those guys pitch more innings than they ever have, you know what happens? They regress a little bit. Do you know who has not regressed? Brady Singer. And because Seth Lugo's been so awesome, and because Cole Reagans is a strikeout machine, we don't talk a lot about Brady Singer, but I can make the argument today that the postseason started tomorrow. He should be your opening game starter, because I believe I heard Vern say on the postgame show, his ERA is 2.88. Brady Singer is also part of this conversation because he's the unsung hero who is continuing to churn out quality start after quality start after quality start for that rotation.
So coming up on the other side, we'll take your answers. We'll continue Vern's question from the postgame show over the course of the next 2 months. Aside from Bobby Witt Jr., who is the most important Royal down this home stretch? We are done with July. We are heading into August. If the playoffs started today, the Royals would be in the playoffs. We have been able to say that at the end of every month that we have had so far in the baseball season. I'll also give you guys the stats from Bobby Witt Jr., who was scorching hot in the month of July. I'll give you the numbers. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. We appreciate being a part of your afternoon. Hopefully you guys had a fantastic day. I am going to read some numbers to you. Now, usually this doesn't play on the radio, but I think you guys will understand the purpose of this. This is the month of July for Bobby Witt Jr. The Royals played 23 games this month. He hit .489 with a .520 on-base percentage. I want you guys to just think about this. Half of the time that Bobby Witt Jr. came up to the plate, he got on base in some capacity. He hit .489 and .520 and had an .833 slugging in the month of July. He had 44 hits over the month. He scored 26 runs and had 22 RBIs. Rob, Bobby Witt Jr. got at least one hit in 22 of the 23 games that the Royals had last month. He has a hit currently in their last 13. In 13 of the 23 games that the Royals played this month, Bobby Witt Jr. had at least two hits in 13 of the 23 games. He is not normal. I also would like to add, over the month of July, he also played in the All-Star game and, oh yeah, was the second place participant in the Home Run Derby. Also in the month of July, back at his home state, home city, hometown of Dallas, Texas. Those are not real numbers. They're not. That's Barry Bonds in 2001. That's Alex Rodriguez at his absolute prime. That's a video game. So I don't think he will do that in July. In August. They're going to need somebody to pick up the slack. What if he just hits .315 in the month of August? You know, just a regular good month. But the Royals find themselves right now 11 games over .500. They find themselves right now, they are tied for second for the wild card. They're not even that far back behind the Yankees. Like, it's not crazy to think that they could be the first wild card team if you were looking at the standings. I mean, they're only four games back of the first wild card. So that's in the realm of possibility. They also played games against the Yankees over the last 60 games of the season as well. I wanted to share with you guys the stats from Bobby Witt Jr. over the course of the last couple of weeks or so, just because it has been absolutely remarkable. There is, I don't even know how you really describe it. Like, when we had George Brett on earlier in the week, and this is how he describes Bobby Witt Jr.
I'm amazed every time I go to the ballpark. And, you know, we had Bo Jackson weekend about 3 weeks ago, and I made a comment, I never missed one of his at-bats. Well, I never miss one of Bobby's at-bats either. You know, I go to a lot of the games. Sometimes I leave early. But if Bobby Witt's coming up to bat in the bottom of the eighth inning in Kauffman Stadium, I'll stick around at least to watch him hit. He's an amazing athlete. He plays baseball, I think, the way I did. He runs everything out. He's always thinking about the next base. Obviously, I think he's a lot more talented than I am because of his speed and his arm, his accuracy, and the things that he can do, the power at such an early age. I didn't develop power till I was about 25, 26, but he's got power at 23. He had power last year at 22. But he's, in my opinion, one of the best players in baseball.
That was George Brett when we had him on the show earlier in the week. I want to play one more cut for you guys, and then we'll get to the hits. I'm playing this because I want you to hear. It's one thing for media folks like myself to say this. We are talking about guys that played this game at the absolute highest level. We're talking about George Brett, who is one of the greatest baseball players that we have ever seen. Rex Hudler, who played 10 years of professional baseball in the States, not counting what he did overseas. Listen to who he compares Bobby Witt Jr. to.
The Jr. has a combination of Bonds, and he doesn't have that. Ozzie Smith had a ballerina type skill out there. He was a little more artsy. He was a little more creative. Junior just makes the plays he's supposed to, and then those plays going back over his head and down the line is elite. I've never seen a shortstop attack the ball in back of him or down the lines like Junior does. But Ozzie Smith is a great comparable to Junior, and certainly it would be a compliment to Ozzie, but really Junior.
Let me ask you this, Rob. This just hit my mind. I don't have numbers to back this up. Has Patrick Mahomes had a regular season month like we just saw Bobby Witt Jr. have? Would you argue maybe Patrick Mahomes' first month as a starter? Because that was a red-hot beginning. You remember, he threw 6 touchdown passes, I believe, back-to-back weeks. I remember he played really well against the Chargers. He had that game on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He then makes that throw against San Francisco to Chris Conley in the back of the end zone. I don't remember what his numbers were at the end of the month. I'm just trying to think. And obviously, Mahomes has had great postseason runs. That's not where we're at in Bobby Witt Jr.'s career yet. We'll see if the Royals make the postseason this year. I'm guessing at some point of his career, they are going to make the postseason. But I'm just trying to think, is there a regular season month that you can think of? Because we are going to refer back to Bobby Witt Jr. and his July of 2024. Like, the moment that Bobby Witt Jr. went from a great player to maybe the best player, we just saw that happen over the course of the last 31 days, where it has really transformed over the last 30 days. I'm not saying he wasn't good in June, but over the month of July, when you hit 500 and you got a 52% on base percentage the way that he does, and the way you put on a show at the All-Star weekend, this is how you become one of the biggest in your sport, what he's done over the last 31 days.
I think the only comparison is Patrick Mahomes' first month. I think that's it. Like, that's all I can think about as far as the comparison of what Bobby Witt Jr. is doing. And I'm pulling up his game logs because Mahomes, up until that Jaguars game, he was just cool, calm, and collected. 14 touchdowns, no interceptions, where he threw the left-hand pass to beat Denver on the road. At that point in Kansas City sports, beating Denver on the road was a Herculean effort, which at this point in time seems hilarious. That was a Herculean effort, but that's what he had. He had thrown for, you know, a casual 1,100 yards in 4 games. That was the first 4 games of his career. Bobby Witt is doing this in the middle of the season. You could argue that what Bobby Witt is doing is more impressive than that because Carrington, baseball and all sports are a game, is a sport of, hey, it's ebbs and flows. You figure the league out for a while, then the league figures you out, and then you kind of find that place in the middle. I remember when Whit Merrifield came up all those years ago. He hit the ground running, and then the league figured him out. He went back down to AAA. The league is not figuring out Bobby Witt Jr. He is getting better. He is ascending. He's like a fine wine over the season. He's aging and improving. That Patrick Mahomes start was incredible, and I'm not discounting what Mahomes did. He won the MVP that year, 50 touchdowns, the whole deal. But the league at least tried their best to slow him down a little bit after his red-hot start. The league is trying to figure out Bobby Witt, and all he's doing is getting 2 hits a game. Vern mentioned in the postgame show, he's not stealing base anymore because he's hitting him, ending up at second base. It's just, it is astonishing what Bobby Witt is doing.
I'm not comparing him to Barry Bonds. I'm just using him as a reference because I think Barry Bonds has been the best baseball player that we have ever seen. Just to like give you in a comparison, we're just how good Bobby Witt Jr. has been over the course of the last couple of weeks and just how it's still not really close to the best version of Barry Bonds. Rob, in April of 2004, Barry Bonds hit .472, had a .700 on-base percentage in April of 2004. Just Barry Bonds, we're never going to see anything like what we saw him do. We appreciate you guys listening. My name is Carrington. Rob is here. We are taking you up until 6 o'clock. This is actually Rob's, I don't want to say last week here, but Rob is going to be off all next week. So the next couple of days, you know, let's enjoy Rob. Let's appreciate his time here. He and his queen, they're going to Jamaica. I mean, right before preseason starts. Rob, how are we going to break down and prepare and get ready for the preseason if you're not here? We need your guidance and your direction. You think August is just time to be just taking off, just doing whatever you want? No, it's time to be locked in, dialed in on the Chiefs' run to try to win an unprecedented 3rd straight Super Bowl.
Is Patrick Mahomes playing that game? Are we certain Patrick Mahomes is playing in that game?
No, you know, Andy plays him in preseason. Now, I'm not saying he's going to play a whole
series.
I'm not saying he's going to play a whole lot. I don't think Pat is going to break a sweat in the game. I think he comes out there, he hands the ball off twice to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He throws one pass to Jared Wiley, and I think Patrick Mahomes is on the sideline and in a baseball cap. That's what I'm going to guess is going to happen in their first preseason game.
So because that's what the football is, I'm going to go ahead and spend some time in the beach, spend some time away, maybe play a little golf, hang out in a cabana, just do Jamaica stuff, and then I'll return, and then real football return, where if the Chiefs win or lose, their record will change, unlike if they win or lose a week from Saturday, where guess what? They'll still be 0-0.
You are listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Again, we appreciate you guys. Coming up in about 15 minutes, if you guys missed it, we'll play for you what J.J. Piccolo had to say. He was on the midday show earlier today. We'll check in with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. They certainly were busy over the course of the last 48 hours. We will learn more about the behind the scenes with the GM of the Kansas City Royals. But first, let's get to the hits and the top stories of the day.
While you're stuck in traffic on your drive home, The Drive gets you caught up on the biggest sports stories in Kansas City and around the country. It's the hits only on The Drive, number one.
Well, came to the top story today in Kansas City, other than the red-hot Kansas City Royals, is the Kansas City Chiefs as they were up at camp today. And it was, well, it was an injury-filled day up at camp. We saw five players leave practice today with injury. Most notably was Nick Bolton, and our guy Matt Bertram over at FanSided has, or SI, excuse me, has now put out a report saying that he is being told that Nick Bolton did leave practice with an elbow injury. He's expected to be fine. He avoided serious injury. But Carrington, today is one of those days where you don't like the news cycle at 8, 9, 10 in the morning because it's an injury-a-palooza. Kadarius Toney, Nick Bolton, it was injury day up in St. Joe.
I have told you this, and you guys always call me negative. The Chiefs are at the point as an organization that nothing good can happen at training camp. Only negative things. You think they're winning the Super Bowl? How can you get good July news? You can't. It is impossible to get good July news. What, Patrick Mahomes is tearing things up at camp? I saw him tear things up in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl last year with two drives to win the game. Only bad things can happen for the Chiefs. So, knock on wood, I don't care how they do it. It is about getting all of your key players to the finish line. That's why a couple days ago when we were talking about Chris Jones and I was telling you that I'm happy he wasn't practicing and guys were questioning his work ethic, I'm like, good. Every day that Travis Kelce is not practicing is a day that he cannot get hurt. Every day, you know what? I'd be perfectly fine if Patrick just took a couple of days off. Patrick, you know the offense. Why don't you go over to the side and why don't you just play a little pitch and catch with Xavier Worthy for a little bit? What? Only bad things can happen. Now, I'll be the one to say it. Kadarius Toney getting hurt. Not really that surprising. Nick Bolton getting hurt. Also not really that surprising. I mean, he was hurt for the last year. At almost every turn last year, he was hurt for the Kansas City Chiefs. That might be a reason why they haven't paid him yet or why we don't think they're going to pay him. But again, only bad things can happen. They have one position battle. Their roster is set. Let's just super sim past the preseason. And let's just get ready for Thursday night against the Baltimore Ravens.
Two.
Well, Carrington, the second biggest story of the day in Kansas City, other than the Royals and Chiefs, is the Olympics. We saw the basketball team earlier today take the court, and they looked more like themselves. After some rough exhibition play, Team USA does, in fact, look like Team USA, just throttling the Sudan today. Carrington, I maybe was just alone in this. I was worried about some rust, some lack of connectivity, whatever the term in the exhibition season as they slogged through. But as they are two games in the Olympics, do you now feel like Team USA is head and shoulders above everyone else?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the best team. I mean, I think the biggest problem for the United States is really been twofold. It's been about locking in defensively. It's also, I mean, it's not different than any basketball team. At some point, you got to figure out what your rotation is. And I know this is a different team. This is an all-star game of epic proportions. But I don't care how many guys you have. You can't play 12 basketball players. You can't get everybody in a rhythm and a flow over the course of the game. Some people are going to have to be disappointed because they didn't play as much as they wanted to. But you get to be at the Olympics. You get to be in Paris. Seems like an okay place to spend 14 days in Paris in a $15 million a night hotel or wherever they're staying at. I was reading an article about it earlier in the day. So I do think they are starting to figure things out. I think they're starting to figure out their rotation, and it's going to be kind of pick or choose. Today, it was Joel Embiid's turn to be mad. Last game, it was Jason Tatum's time to be mad. Two of you are not playing today. That has to be the message that has been out there. Someone on the text line says, "C-Dot, you know that babying and trying not to get hurt has never worked." I would say that is the whole intention of the preseason, is to baby them and try not to get them hurt. I strongly disagree. Now's not the time to not be babying them and trying not for them to get hurt. I am all for that in the regular season. Yeah, I'm all for it in the regular season. You got to go play football at that point. I am not about any of those things in the preseason. We believe the Chiefs are going to be playing in February. It's July. I'm not really interested in going super hard right now. Hey, Travis, you know what? If you want to set up the little podcast up there, why don't you not come to practice today? Why don't you stay in the air conditioning? Why don't you listen to, what's his girlfriend's latest album? The Tortured Poet Society of, I don't know the name of the album.
It won some award for the cover art, Carrington. Yeah, come on now.
I don't know the name of that album. But I would tell Travis Kelce, you know what, man? Why don't you sit in the air conditioning today? Why don't we get you, you know, something to drink? Why don't we get you, you know, some body armor, some Prime? Why don't you stay hydrated? You know, keep your electrolytes in you. Set up your podcast right there. Why don't you just do a podcast? You know, we'll come get you over the course of the next couple of days. To me, that is the only way to handle July and August, is by doing those things. And we'll figure this thing out as we continue to get there. You know how I say in baseball, you can't make the playoffs in April, but you can miss the playoffs in April? Like, you can't make it then. You can lose the Super Bowl in August if you were the Chiefs, if the wrong person gets injured. Like, you can. Why don't we just skip it? One of the teams that we are talking about in the NFL is going to have a substantial injury over the course of the next 3 weeks. That's how football works. Remember whenever Teddy Bridgewater broke his leg? Remember when Michael Vick broke his leg? Like, we can give you examples. I don't want that to be the Chiefs.
I mean, that rule applies to the preseason, too.
100%. I agree.
It extends all the way through the fake football.
I'm with you.
As we talked about earlier in the week, as much as Caleb Williams, like, it's annoying for people who are going to the Hall of Fame game to not see the number one overall pick, the Bears are doing the right thing. Do not risk your players in games that don't count. Do not risk your players by, you know, overexerting yourself in St. Joe. The fine folks of St. Joe are doing fine. You know, the people who go up there, they watch the practices, 7-on-7 shorts and t-shirts, live your life. But Andy Reid's very physical, grueling camp usually gets someone hurt. Let's try to avoid it being a marquee player. Like, last year, Tony and Travis Kelce got hurt through this process. Like, let's not have that happen again. Let's not have September be a conversation where it's like, you know, it's a bit of a rough start for the team because of injuries. Let's avoid those moments this season if we can.
I'm 100% with you. Again, you cannot win the Super Bowl in July and August. You can absolutely hurt your chances. And the Chiefs are just, they are at the point as a team, as an organization, that you can only get bad news. You never get good calls in the middle of the night. No one calls you at 1 o'clock in the morning like, "Oh man, I just haven't talked to you in such a long time. Hey, how have you been?" Usually when you get that phone call at 1:30, it's not a good one. I'm here to tell you that for this team in July, there are only early morning calls. Only. There's no other one. You want to know how I know? They're doing quadruple passes at practices. They're just trying to keep themselves entertained out there. Let's just go ahead and get through this thing as safely and quickly as possible. All right, Rob, we have been asking this question. We had, what were you listening to? We didn't have Josh Vernier on the show. We will have him again on Friday. But Vern asked this question in his postgame show. His question was, aside from Bobby Witt Jr., who was the most important player on the Royals over the final 2 months of the season? I gave you guys my answer. My answer is Lucas Urseg. His appearance today is exactly why you traded for him. You do not have that kind of arm right now in the bullpen. And if you can find some measure of consistency and you can kind of have him be an anchor and you can build around that place as him being your foundation, it changes a lot of problems for this team. I don't want to make it seem like they have now acquired Greg Holland. I don't think they have done this, but I also don't know if they lose the Diamondback series if they have them on the team. I could think of about 4 or 5 games over the course of the last 30 days that the Royals have lost, that if their bullpen was just a fraction better, maybe it is a different outcome. Maybe right now the Royals are 3 games back in the division or leading the wild card picture. But we are where we are. The month of July is over. We are going to wake up tomorrow and the Royals are going to be in the postseason. Now it is about how do you maintain it? How do you potentially catch the Cleveland Guardians? Could you catch the Yankees? We will see how the final 60 days play themselves out for the Kansas City Royals, but that's what it is about. So I've nominated Lucas Urseg as my most important guy down the stretch. I think we got a glimpse of that today. Rob, who is your answer?
Hunter Renfroe. Hunter Renfroe, sample size, I believe I saw a stat earlier, is batting 300 since May. 300 since May. All right, end of May, excuse me. So 2 month sample size, 51 some odd games. It's not a perfect science, but do you know what has been happening to the Royals offense recently? It's been getting better. Do you know what conversations on this show have looked like? Less and less harping on people like MJ Melendez. And that's partly because Bobby Witt Jr. is a star. And Bobby Witt Jr.'s greatness just covers a lot of the mistakes. Like the Patrick Mahomes comparison earlier. The Chiefs have had some not so great moments in the Mahomes era, but his greatness just outshines those moments when they do happen. That's Bobby Witt. But also, the lineup is getting longer, and the team is improving offensively, and they were not aggressive in the bat market, and I think it's because they feel like the guy they have in right field is starting to produce the guy they signed in the offseason. They didn't sign Hunter Renfroe to be a light-hitting, you know, home runner bust guy. They brought him in to be a big RBI guy, middle of the lineup, the whole deal. And he wasn't for the first two and a half, three months of the season. He is slowly turning into that. And if your lineup lengthens and your lineup improves, you and I both know in October, you rarely win games 11 to 10. It's usually 3-2, 4-3, 5-4 at the most. It's usually pitching, defense, and timely hitting. And if you have a 5-6-7 hitter in Hunter Renfroe who can contribute to the timely hitting and isn't just an auto out, suddenly your lineup gets a little longer and it becomes a little tougher on taxing on opposing pitchers. Hunter Renfroe is my answer.
So coming up on the other side, we'll read you guys' text messages. We'll hear more of your answers. Vern was asking the question, aside from Bobby Witt, who is the most important Royal the final 2 months of the season? We'll also play the best of J.J. Piccolo, who was on the station earlier today. Let's hear from the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. We are heading into August, and you know what? The Royals have done certainly more than just get us to training camp. They got a chance to make the postseason. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. J.J. Piccolo was on the midday show earlier today, and he had a lot to say about all the moves that the Royals have been making over the course of the last couple of weeks. The conversation with JJ starts with how important was it to add guys who can not only just help you right now, but also that the Royals have club control over moving forward?
Well, if you take a look at our projected roster for next year, even taking like performance out of it completely, we're going to lose more guys out of our bullpen than we are anywhere else. So that was certainly a need, not only for this season, but moving forward. So trying to acquire pitchers, relief pitchers that had years of control was high on our list. And, you know, both Harvey and Urseg both represent that, Harvey through next year and Urseg through 29. So we were able to accomplish that. And, sending a message, you don't want to make moves just to make moves. You want to make moves that make sense. You want to make moves that improve your club. But this team has earned the right for us to go out and get other players. They've done the work on the field. They've played extremely well, and we wanted to help them to continue to play well. And then also even just our fan base. I mean, our fans are excited right now about what our team's doing. We have really good evaluators and really good ways of just evaluating our team. How could we make this team better so our fans continue to enjoy what's going on this year? So it was necessary for us to make moves. But again, it wasn't going to be moves just to make moves. They were going to be moves that would make sense for us in 24 and make sense for us moving forward.
It might be worth breaking down these players one by one, but I guess let's start with Hurstick, since you mentioned he thought he might be a back-end bullpen piece for you at some point. When you say that yesterday, do you mean he could be a ninth inning guy this year and in the long term? Just kind of how do you see his role as far as leverage goes?
Well, he's done it this year. I mean, they have Mason Miller out there in Oakland, who's probably the best in the game right now. So he was pitching mostly in the eighth inning. But when Mason got hurt last week, Lucas stepped in and closed a couple games. So he doesn't have a lot of experience doing it, but he has the stuff to do it. He's pitching the eighth inning. And when you look at just how closers are developed, most of them start in the seventh inning, then they go to the eighth inning, and then eventually they get to the ninth inning. There's a process that takes place with every great closer in the game, and Lucas is on that trail. And the same can be said about Hunter Harvey. He's behind Finnegan. He was a setup guy in Washington. He had done it very well for a couple of years. He's going to have the opportunity to close. But the fact that neither one has truly been a closer, they don't have 30 saves in their back pocket in the past, we're just going to let that develop. I'm just glad, and the staff is glad, that we have two guys that now can pitch in the back end, and however it works out, it works out. But they're team guys. They get it. They're going to pitch wherever Q says you're going in, and hopefully by the end of the season, something is established and we have some consistency there.
We've already seen a couple looks at Hunter Harvey. Of course, he was traded a couple weeks earlier, and we saw him again yesterday. What do you make of so far what he's done for you guys? I know he had a little bit of a back issue prior to yesterday's appearance.
Yeah. Well, first thing is it's good to see him out there 2 days after, he walked off. So that was encouraging. He's been a little rusty. He didn't get a chance. That All-Star break, he had pitched the Friday before the All-Star break and then didn't pitch again until I think the following Saturday it was. So that, I think that took its toll on him a little bit. But I think with the more touches he gets, the more innings he pitches, the sharper he'll get. I thought last night was actually a really good inning, even though he gave up a run. I thought his stuff was as good as we've seen it, and it'll continue to trend that way.
When you look at some of the other spots, people are going to ask a question like, hey, who could you have targeted? When you look at what Hunter Renfroe has done for you the last 2.5 months, did that make it easier to not feel like a corner outfielder, which was something Royals fans are talking a lot about, JJ, to make it easier to think maybe that wasn't on the list?
Yeah, no, we're very comfortable with what Hunter's doing. He was, got off to a slow start, and now is, I think he's got over an 800 OPS since the middle of May. So he's producing at a very high level. Obviously, he's moved up in the lineup now, hitting 5 and 6 and getting some big hits for us. So it did make it easier. Hunter is going to be on our team one way or the other. But the fact that he's producing took a lot of pressure off of us to go try to find a super impactful bat. We're able to add a piece in DeJong that can help us in a lot of different ways, because Hunter is going to be in the lineup, just about every day.
How often are you thinking you want DeJong in the lineup? Do you envision him as an everyday player, a 4 or 5 day a week player? Like, what did you and Q talk about his role?
Yeah. Well, one thing we've talked about, and we'll see how it develops, but, potentially playing some left field if needed. Third base is the most obvious spot where he should get some time. We got a guy named Bobby Witt Jr. at shortstop, so he's not going to play shortstop. So he'll get some time at third base. We'll mix him in at second base. It's part of the rotation that we run. It's not a set number of days a week. It's just matchup related. Who's on the mound? Who do they have in the bullpen? Who do we want coming off the bench? But he's going to factor in, whether it's a third, potentially in left, DH, or bat off the bench. He's just going to be part of the team and help us operate the way we want to operate.
We're talking to JJ Piccolo, Royals general manager, joining us here on Cody and Gold. We've seen different pieces get opportunities at the top of the order there. How much consideration was there even leading up to the trade deadline about where you guys are at with the leadoff spot?
Yeah, there was really just one or two players that we thought could have fit that bill. The trades didn't work out, and you know that's just the nature of it. But it was under consideration for sure. We'd like to get some stability at the top of the lineup. Right now, we got Massey hitting leadoff, and you know it's a little bit unconventional just because he doesn't walk a whole lot. Although he's walked a couple times since he's been in the leadoff hole. But what has been nice with Michael in that spot, he's coming up, you know, in his third and fourth at bats in some big situations, and it's worked out well with guys on base. That he's come up. But, you know, to answer your question directly, we did look, we did talk, but we weren't able to land those players. And, you know, you go with what you got right now.
What's kind of your dream scenario there? Do you still kind of hope Mikel Garcia proves that he's deserving of that chance again? Or do you just, is it kind of like the bullpen for you guys, JJ, where you'll try a number of things until something sticks?
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer. I mean, I know when Mikel was going good, it was an exciting 1-2 punch because the game could be in motion with Mikel's aggressiveness on the bases, Bobby hitting behind him, both of them on the base together. We really like that. You know, Michael, you know, just coincidentally, I mean, he's a relative of Alcides Escobar. He's got some of those traits. You know, he's a free swinger. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, we're hopeful that Mikel will calm down. He seems to have settled in since he's moved down in the lineup. I think his at-bats have been better, and maybe eventually he works his way up there. So it's just going to be, you know, keep trying different things until we find the right mix. But maybe at the end of the year it is Mikel. Maybe Michael Massey settles in there right now. So I think we'll just keep trying things until we find the one that works best.
A couple days ago, I know you were asked about Michael Lorenzen, the move with the Rangers there, and what his role is going to be. And I don't know, post-trade deadline, now seeing what arm you also were able to acquire from Oakland, if it changes your view on that at all. But how do you see Michael Lorenzen fitting in? We know he's what, got 18 starts here with the Rangers, but could he be a bullpen guy for you guys?
Well, he's pitched out of the bullpen before. You know, I think our acquisition was with the thought that he's going to make starts for us, more so because we're very conscious of the innings that have been pitched by our current starters. There's a couple that are still, we think, very young in their careers, and they're going to start getting into territories they've never been in before. So if there's a way that we can manage this and really keep guys fresh, you know, keep them as strong as they can possibly be all the way through September and hopefully into October. You know, Michael gives us a chance to do that. Michael Lorenzen gives us a chance to do that, but it's also knowing that he can go in the bullpen and be an effective reliever as well. So he's a veteran. He likes to win. He sort of fits in with the personalities we have on the team. His background's similar. He's a team guy. So whatever role it is, we know he's willing to fill it. But he has made 18 starts this year, and that doesn't go unnoticed.
I don't think we can have you on the show, JJ, without talking about Bobby Witt Jr., though. I mean, my goodness, we are running out of like ways to describe what he's doing. But we were discussing yesterday that, you know, in other sports, maybe it's easy to say a player just takes over a game. We don't see that as much in baseball, but that's exactly what Bobby Witt Jr. did the other night in an inning stretch with that grand slam and those defensive plays.
No question. As soon as it happened, I was texting several people. I think we just watched like Michael Jordan finish a game off in the last 2 minutes. That's what it felt like. It just doesn't happen in baseball because you have to have the opportunities as a position player. You got to be, you know, in the batter's box hitting in the big situation, and then the ball has to get hit to you. So for all those things to align, it's just, you know, you just don't see it. But then to see the player come through the way he did, it's hard not to think of Michael Jordan or LeBron or whoever you want to, you know, comp it to. But in baseball, it's really tough to get those moments. And Bobby, he won that game for us. I mean, seemed like we were dead in the water and it was going to be a frustrating loss. And all of a sudden, great at-bats taken before. And I think there can't be enough said about those at-bats to get Bobby up, you know, to get him in the batter's box at that moment and give him the opportunity. But then for him to do what he did, just, I mean, it was a wild moment. And then he caps it off with the two plays in the field. So special player. And, you know, even last night, you know, I think there were so many things that went right on that play. Really well executed by Bobby, by Vinny taking second base, and then by Vance Wilson sending him. I mean, that's an exciting play. For me, that's the most exciting play in baseball, and I hope fans don't, you know, look past that play, because you don't get a chance to run that play that much. But when the players are on their toes and they're thinking that way and they give you a chance to do it, it's really exciting to see, and it happened to be the winning run for us.
That was J.J. Piccolo. He was on the Midday Show earlier today. If you want to check out the full interview, you can do so over on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Rob is here as well. Rob, who are we handing things off to? Binkley, after we are done today. Shout out to my guy Binkley. Really happy to have him hosting tonight. Is there anything on the Olympic docket for today? Earlier today, we saw Team USA men. We saw them dominate. They won 103-86. Not really sure why they were 30-point favorites against a team in which they needed a game-winning bucket. That just didn't make any sense to me why America was that big of a favorite, but they were in control of this game for most of it. They were never really in danger of losing this game. We also saw that Katie Ledecky, she won her 8th gold medal today. I saw a picture. I didn't get a chance to see the race, but I saw a picture in which she was out of the pool and there were still people swimming. She had already won the race, won the gold medal, gotten herself out of the water, and there were still people competing in the event. That's how much faster she was than everybody else earlier today.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, I'm here to answer it.
Do you think Katie, look, I forget the list, maybe it was ESPN, maybe of the top athletes of the 21st century.
She should be a little higher up probably than where she
should
was.
Should she be ahead of Simone Biles? Like, listen, Simone Biles is awesome. This is no knock on Simone Biles. She just racks up golds in her own world. But the only person competing with Katie Ledecky is Katie Ledecky. Like, not only does she have all the records, and she's getting out of the pool and drying off before her competitors are even done swimming. Like, Katie Ledecky is Michael Phelps of women's swimming. We just don't talk about her the same way we talk about Simone Biles. Like, we should talk about her more often.
I do have, this is a kind of related to what you're saying, but not really. It's Olympic related. How is America not good at 3-on-3 basketball? The women are 0-2, and they lost to a country I've never heard of before. Azerbaijan? No disrespect to this country.
Azerbaijan.
I don't know where they are. I've never heard of them before. I don't know where it is. I could not find it. I could not locate it on a map. I never heard of them before. The women lost to them earlier today, and then the men in 3-on-3 basketball, led by Jimmer Fredette, they're also 0-2 in 3-on-3 basketball. What's going on here? The basketball events should be our events. 5-on-5, 3-on-3, knockout, 21. I don't care what kind of basketball exhibition that we are participating in. I would just like to see us win said competition. We are not winning those things. Rob, do you keep up with Olympic men's soccer? Is that something that you keep up with?
I keep an eye on the men's soccer. They're heading to the knockout round, baby.
Okay. All right. I didn't know.
First time since 2000 they're heading the knockout round.
Why do you think America just doesn't take Olympic soccer more seriously? They're not going to win the World Cup, but maybe they could win the gold medal.
I mean, part of it's the rules.
I didn't know they had all these rules.
You can only have two, I believe it's either two or three players on your roster that are older than 23 years old.
Oh, so it's like the under 23.
It's an under 23 team. And okay. You want to know why U.S. soccer has been kind of floundering around? Their youth academy stinks.
Well, that's not a surprise to anybody.
So, yeah. You say
their youth academy. They stink as kids and adults?
Basically.
Okay. I didn't know. I did not know that was a rule. Mm-hmm. Would you like to see basketball do that?
Yes.
So you like you don't want LeBron and them playing in it.
I think you can put LeBron in them in it. You can have three exceptions to your roster. Now, maybe you change the numbers for basketball. You get two, whatever. Yeah. But, like.
Yeah, you would get. I mean, this year probably would have been LeBron, Steph, and Kevin Durant. Durant, yeah. And then it would be.
Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, and then it would just be Anthony Edwards and a bunch of other young guys on their team. Which, I mean, that team would be really good. But then, like, I think if you do it that way, then the United States maybe has an even bigger advantage. I mean, Giannis can't play in this thing. Jokic can't play.
I mean, they could be roster exemptions for their countries.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Good point. My bad.
And then, you know what that what happens if they do it that way? Like, I think the FIBA World Cup would matter. Like, do you care about the Men's Basketball World Cup? No. Did you know America didn't even win it last time they participated? Probably not. But if you could bring your A-list, no age restriction team to the World Cup, and you have to use the Olympics for your youth academy, I think people would start caring about the Men's World Cup in basketball. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, you know what? I don't really want to care about the World Cup. I like the way that the basketball is right now. I just like watching all of them play together and try hard. Like, that's what I want the All-Star game to be. I understand the stakes are much bigger, but I mean, these guys were only playing 15 to 20 minutes. Like, you can't try hard for 20 minutes. Like, today, they were really getting after it. And it's fun to watch. You got Anthony Edwards, LeBron, and Steph Curry on a break. It's just, I love FIBA basketball is my favorite basketball to watch. It's a lot of fun. Someone said, let's get baseball into the Olympics. If Major League Baseball is not interested in taking a break, I'm not that interested in baseball. I mean, I think that they should take a break in the middle of the season. And if you want to grow the game on an international level, doing that during the Olympics would be a great way to do it. But that's too much like right. So, of course, baseball will never do it. I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you did as well. We'll be back to our normal schedule tomorrow. Keep it right here. So drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.